The Walking Dead Season 5, Episode 10 is over, but we're just getting started here on The Walking Dead Live on post-show recaps. And now, here are the two guys who are The Walking Dead recappers. I'm Rob Sestrino. Here's my main dog, Josh Wiggler. What up, dog?
Who let the dogs out?
Who? Yes, who Sasha did. Out? It was Sasha let the dogs out.
Sasha let the dogs go. I mean, God.
Oh my God.
She really just needed to kill something.
Sasha is Breaking Bad tonight.
Yeah, she's Breaking Bad. She's doing bad stuff. She's the reason why everything is going to hell, according to Abraham. If she keeps acting the way she is, it's no good.
Yeah, boy, we had a lot to unpack tonight on a night where it was like The Walking Dead was just on a mission to God knows where, and they got stuck in the rainstorm and they had no water. This is maybe some of the most desperate that we've seen The Walking Dead crew in five seasons.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we've seen these survivors on the road for a while now. We've seen them on the road since the prison got torn apart and everyone got scattered to the nine winds. But we haven't seen them all as one big unit traveling together on the open road without a shelter to cover their heads, without food in their belly, without water in their bottles. For a very long time, maybe never, really. We haven't seen them in a way like this. So this was an episode that was really testing our group's ability to survive. We've seen them champ up through a lot of stuff. We saw them get through Terminus. We got through Woodbury. Most of them are still kicking around. It's a big group. It's, I think, 13, 14 people right now. So it's a large group of survivors, and we got to see how they function at their lowest. I know some people are saying that this was not the greatest episode. I actually liked it. I thought it was cool to see The Walking Dead test these guys, test their mettle, see if what they're capable of when they're at their lowest low. So lots to dive into, lots to chew on, dog meat especially.
Yes, lots. Hopefully it wasn't tainted dog meat.
Tainted dog meat. Yeah, you never know. You never know. They look like some mangy mutts.
Yes. All right, Josh, they're calling it a zombie-nado. That was also a big weather was a factor here tonight. We had everything.
We had everything. Yeah, it would have been great if we could actually see some zombies swept up in the tornado. Zombie-nado would be good.
That would be good. All right, so let me just set this up here.
What would you be more afraid of, Rob, just really quickly? A zombie-nado or a shark-nado? And is it close?
I think it's a zombie-nado, and I think it's not close.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's jarring enough to have either sharks or zombies swept up in a tornado, but I feel like the added factor of, oh, shit, zombies exist, that's not great.
Yeah, sharks exist, and I'm okay with that. The fact that even one zombie would be a very frightening proposition, let alone a zombie-nado.
Yeah, I think that would be, it'd be pretty alarming. I don't think you want to deal with a zombie-nado if you can avoid it. Try and steer clear of that. We'll see. I was a little disappointed we didn't get to see more of the zombie NATO.
Of course, since we are live, we are going to go ahead and take your questions here in the chat room on postshowrecaps.com. Also on our Twitter with hashtag PSRecaps and also on our YouTube channel at postshowrecaps.com/YouTube. All right. So let's get into this. I feel like the top story at this hour, mysterious stranger, Aaron, at the end of the episode, seems to know who Rick is, seems to have maybe made the music box working. Did we all of a sudden start podcasting about Lost here? What's going on, Josh?
It's funny. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of the questions that are coming in, and there have been a lot of comparisons made to Lost with tonight's episode. So it's not just you who's thinking that. I think a lot of people are starting to notice a little bit of some wacky, weird vibes on this show, not to mention that we saw all those ghosts last week. So maybe Walking Dead has taken a few cues from Lost. I don't know. What did you think of Stranger Danger at the end of this episode, Rob? What's your immediate take on this guy?
My immediate take is that it's, you know, that thing on The Walking Dead when they meet somebody new and they think, okay, this guy might not be so bad. And it turns out that the person is really much worse than they expect and is a really bad guy.
Right.
I think it's that thing.
Okay. So you think that this guy is saying, hey, don't worry, stranger danger, stranger danger. I'm actually a friend. I'm a cool guy. I'm here to hang out with you. Take me to your leader. We're all going to be best friends. And then pop.
Yeah, that's bad.
He's going to turn on everyone. You don't trust this guy.
You're better off on The Walking Dead if somebody comes up and is like, hey, I'm the biggest a-hole you ever met. Like, you're not going to like me one bit. Like that guy turned out that, oh, that person's actually a good guy.
Right.
Whatever they are when you first meet them, that's the opposite of what they are on The Walking Dead. As far as strangers go in my book.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, is there an exception to that rule? I mean, Tyrese was a stranger to this group, and like Carl and everybody kicked him out of the prison, and Tyrese ended up being a pretty good dude,
right.
R.I.P.
Because he seemed menacing and threatening at first. They got rid of him, and then they found out, oh, actually, Tyrese is a good guy.
Right. Yeah, I think maybe you don't want to come off with like a friendly disposition. I think that does tend to lead down a dangerous road on The Walking Dead. It'll be interesting to see where it goes.
Just so I know, to frame my questions, Aaron, is this a comic book arc?
Aaron is indeed from the comic book, so I can only theorize with you so much, but I can field your theories, Rob.
Okay. And is there any connection between Aaron's arrival and the start of the music box working?
I don't think so. I mean, if that's the case, then we truly have embarked on a very different show than what we've been watching for 5 seasons. I don't think that we are getting to the point where characters have like telepathy or the ability to make broken things suddenly work just with their sheer presence. I mean, this guy seems like a very magnetic, attractive guy, but I don't know if he's so majestic that he could just make a music box.
Is he so magnetic that he could fix the music box with just his presence?
His electromagnetism?
Yes.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, brother. We'll have to, maybe we'll see in another life.
All right. Well, that's very exciting and interesting. Do we think that the water, the like bottles of water that they found, was this connected to Aaron?
Well, so he comes to Sasha and Maggie at the end of this episode, hands up, you know, he walks forward, he's like, hey, I know this is freaky, you don't like this, you don't like it when strangers come up to you, but I promise you I'm a friend, I have good news. Thinking back to the water scene, the note that was left there was, this is from a friend. So it wouldn't be, I don't think, too much of a leap to connect these two people. I think the question is he a friend or is he a foe?
What did you think of when they wouldn't let Eugene drink the water? Did you understand why they wouldn't let Eugene drink the water? I feel like the whole reason why you have Eugene would be to let him drink the water.
Oh, yeah. No, that was nonsense. I think at this point, Eugene's use to the group is being the test subject, is being the guinea pig. He doesn't bring too much else to the table. He's a smart enough guy, obviously a capable enough liar to fool everybody that he was this super genius science guy and he was going to be able to save the day and fix this apocalypse. And obviously that's, you know, BS, but he's a liar. It turns out that none of that is legit. They are still on their way to Washington, D.C., but it's not because he has this plan in mind. So he's this BS artist. And I guess that's a skill to a certain degree, but you would think that his next best use at this point, it's like being the poison tester. If you think that your water is filled with poison, let one of the least useful people in the group take the water, take a sip. If he doesn't work out, then that's one less mouth to feed. I think that these guys need to be a little more cutthroat with Eugene. And I was mostly surprised that Abraham was the guy to like smack the water out of his hand. I would think Abraham would be like, chug, 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 drink it all up.
Yeah, speaking of chug, 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 were you surprised, A, that Abraham drank a full fifth of God knows what that was, or B, were you more surprised that there was absolutely no ramifications of you of Abraham drinking the entire fifth of alcohol?
Abraham strikes me as the kind of guy who can drink that entire fifth of alcohol and be mostly okay. He's a giant guy. He's huge. He seems like the type that has looked down the bottom of a bottle on numerous occasions in his past. That being said, these guys are running on empty. They have no food in their system. They have very little water in their system. I guess he has some dog meat in his system by the time that he's drinking the booze. So maybe that's absorbing some of the booze. But you would think that Abraham would be a little bit drunker than this. He seemed pretty together.
Yeah, everybody's like, hey, whoa, don't do that, you know, and they're like, oh, things can't get any worse, and Rosita's like, oh, it could definitely get worse, trust me, like, almost like, oh, you believe me, you don't want to be around Abraham when he's drunk, and they just, that never paid off.
It never paid off. I guess Rosita has seen Abraham be an angry drunk before. I don't think that we have quite seen that. Based on what we saw from Abraham drinking all that booze, he's like kind of like a, he's like a modest drunk. He's like a mild drunk. It's not so bad.
Yeah. I mean, really, that he drank an entire fifth in the episode. I mean, in the matter of a couple of hours, he never once is like slurring his speech. He never once is like fall down drunk. I mean, he had absolutely no, was it some sort of like O'Doul's type alcohol that they found? Does it lose its alcohol? Like, does it go bad?
No, I don't think it goes bad. If that was like O'Doul's whiskey, then these guys really do have the crappiest luck of all time.
I was going to say Synthahol, but I thought that'd be too nerdy.
No, that's too nerdy for me. Yeah, to be honest with you.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll see if that's going to pay off down the road, that Abraham can really drink anybody under the table. As far as Aaron goes, I mean, is there anything else that we could take away from the episode? I mean, the guy is very clean, does not look like anybody else we know from this world. He also knows who Rick's name is. He knows that Rick is the leader. I thought, I was like, boy, what a sexist pig this guy is, that he walks up and sees Sasha and Maggie and is like, take me to your leader. But I guess apparently he does know the politics of the group.
Yeah, I mean, he identified their leader. I mean, he wasn't like 100% sure. He's like, it's Rick, right? So that tells you, it doesn't tell you anything about his moral alignment. It doesn't tell you anything about whether or not this guy's a good guy or a bad guy. It tells you nothing about that. What it does tell you is he has information. He knows enough about this group to know that there's a person named Rick there, and he appears to be the leader. As you observed, he's clean. He looks like he's doing much better than our group. He's certainly in a better mood than our group, or at least that's what he's putting on. So whoever Aaron is, he seems to be clean. He seems to be well-fed. He seems to be high energy, and he seems to be intelligent, and he seems to know stuff about our group. That's either really good if he's a friend or really bad if he's not. So it could go either way.
Yeah, I cannot come up with any scenario where they would know who the leader is. The only possible other people that are out there that know these guys are, A, does he have some connection to Morgan, which doesn't really seem to make a lot of sense. I wouldn't really understand why he would look the way that he does. Or B, if he has some connection to the police and the whole thing that happened at the hospital, but that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. So I am completely bum-puzzled as to who Aaron could be and who he's with.
Yeah, I think that's what Walking Dead wants out of you right now. Walking Dead wants you to ask that question. Is this guy on our side? Is this guy not on our side? I would expect that they want us asking that question certainly all week long as we wait for Walking Dead episode 3, the third episode of the second half of season 5 to kick in. But I wouldn't be surprised, too, if this question is a bigger question for a little while. I mean, we've dealt with things like this in the past, thinking back to Randall in season 2, the guy that they trap in Herschel's barn for a while. It's like, can we trust this guy? Is this guy going to be able to gel with our group? Is he a good dude? Is he a bad dude? He was from a group of people that were antagonistic towards our survivors. But he ultimately, it seemed like he wanted to just fit in. He needed a new home. So Walking Dead has done this before where it introduces a stranger. It asks you the question of, can we trust this guy? Can we not? I feel like we've been with the Rick Grimes group through so much that like the paranoia that they feel, we kind of feel as well towards all of the new characters we meet. We're very judgmental of new characters. Rob, you and I have been especially harsh on a guy like Noah. So anytime we meet a new character on Walking Dead, it's our prerogative to be skeptical. And I don't think that with this character, it should be any different.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Herschel's barn, because I was thinking of Herschel's barn during the episode tonight, because this was like a reverse Herschel's barn where all of our heroes were locked in the barn and all of the zombies were on the outside trying to get in.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. That was pretty intense. And, we get this really big moment where, I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about the speech that Rick gives in greater detail. But we get this big moment where all the walkers are outside and they're all charging at the door. And it takes all of our survivors to like lean up against the door to fight them back, just to prevent them from coming in. And even then, it's looking hopeless. And then it cuts to black and everyone's fine the next day. It's kind of like, what the hell just happened here? And it turns out there was a zombie-nado. There was a tornado that swept through and took care of all these walkers for us.
Yeah. What do we make of this? Is this some sort of magic? Is this connected to the whole mysterious Aaron thing? I mean, it seems to me just as implausible as, you know, 500 walkers just swarming on the cabin without any sort of provocation. It seems just as unlikely that a big force of nature would be able to come and take them all away.
Oh, sure. I mean, I'm going to poo-poo the magic theory right now. I don't think that we've got any magic going on here on The Walking Dead. What I do think is that, you know, this is an episode that is, you know, it's dealing a lot in luck and dealing a lot in grief. You know, bad luck certainly is at the forefront of this episode. It's, you know, these people are having a hard time catching breaks. They're on the road. They're coming up on, you know, crash sites. They're coming up on places where maybe they can find water, and they're coming up empty. The best that they get is this flask of whiskey and a dead thing in the trunk of a car. Their luck is really, really poor. And everyone is at this extreme, extreme low. And then there's these moments where luck actually seems to break in their favor. And you know, it's not just, you know, there's all this water here and everyone's really kind of cautious about, should we take this? But as soon as, you know, they decide they're not going to drink it, there's a rainstorm and they can finally start, you know, finding water and fending for themselves a little
bit. Sounds like magic to me.
I know it sounds like magic to you. And then there's this big moment where, you know, they all look like they're about to get eaten by walkers. And it's just like, it's seemingly divine intervention that the universe has decided to strike all these walkers down and spare the lives of our guys. And call that magic if you want, call it fate, call it faith as well, you know, call it whatever you want. I think what it's meant to illustrate on the show is as bad as it is right now for these guys, as dire as their situation is, as much as they've lost people along the way, there's also the opportunity for things to take another turn. There's an opportunity for these people to find what they're looking for. There's an opportunity for these people to get out of the world as they see it now. You know, that's the big debate between Michonne and Glenn, where Michonne says, this isn't the world. It's not. And Glenn says, it might be. I think that, you know, this episode is really testing that question. And I think that this big moment where all of the walkers are getting struck down by lightning really speaks to this idea that, yeah, you're in a terrible situation right now, but it's possible that, you know, give it five more minutes, give it one unbelievably lucky thing to happen, and maybe your luck will turn as well. So that's what I took out of it, Rob. You can call it magic. That's what I took.
I'm just saying there's a lot of magical things that are happening right now on The Walking Dead.
I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. I don't think it's that show.
It's happening. It's happening. I think that we're taking a turn here in season five.
Yeah, I think is magic responsible for the zombie outbreak? Did some like necromancer raise all of the dead and we have to like defeat this evil wizard at the end of this thing?
Hey, it makes as much sense as anything else I've heard.
We want to go back to the dog topic because I don't think we've chewed on the dog topic enough, because I think that was a big moment from tonight. So let's start with Jason Burning, who says, won't rabid dog meat make you sick? I know desperate times and all, but I think they're all going to die of rabies now. What do you think, Rob? Are these people in trouble for eating these rabid dogs?
We've been through this with Bob. If you eat the meat of somebody that is infected with a virus and then you cook it, you're okay. It's not tainted dog meat.
It's not tainted dog meat.
Yeah. Where have all the dogs been? I mean, talk about magic. We're so hungry. All of a sudden, here come five dogs out of nowhere. Where are all the dogs? We haven't seen any dogs. Have we seen five dogs in five seasons of The Walking Dead?
We saw T-Dog.
Yeah, we saw T-Dog. That's right.
What about T-Dog?
Where do all these dogs come from? I mean, how long have our characters been on the road before? They've never had seen one dog before?
Yeah, I don't know if there have been dogs on the show. Yeah. Magic? Magic
yes.
Dogs?
Yes.
Man, what a magical show this has turned out to be.
It's been a very magical night. One of the things that I did like a little bit with the episode tonight was that, you know, we talked about in the last week's podcast about how we had the death of Beth, and also we had with Tyrese last week, how that came back to back. And we didn't even really get a chance to grieve about Beth, and now Tyrese was gone. I feel like this was an episode where we sort of had a chance to catch our breath and go through the grieving of both Beth and Tyrese through the eyes of Sasha and Maggie.
Yeah, and Daryl as well. You know, I think those were the those were like the three cornerstone characters of the night. Yeah, I liked that a lot. I think that, you know, that was something that we were looking for in the mid-season premiere. You can't just kill a character like Beth and then not let us talk about it. You know, we can't have a moment to even really think about it. But no, they kill Tyrese instead of letting us grieve for a character who's been with the show for a very long time. Which I guess, you know, I see the need for that, because they really want to get these people at a really low point. Getting rid of Beth is obviously a big blow to somebody like Maggie and Daryl and consequently Glenn and the rest of the group. But taking Tyrese out of the mix as well, it's like, oh my God, we just lost two really valuable people in our group. And so I understand why that was what they needed to do in the first episode back. But I'm really happy that they were able to kind of respond to both of those deaths. And I thought a really cool way in this episode to really show just how far down the rabbit hole of despair we have with Daryl and Maggie and Sasha. These people are not doing very well.
Yeah. Who do you think is doing the worst? Give us the power rankings.
I think Daryl's doing the best. You know, Daryl cried. He let it out. He fixed the music box and, you know, he's doing okay now. I think Daryl, you know, Daryl's tough. He's going to get through it. So I think he's doing the best. I think Maggie is doing the second best. And, you know, when you think about it, Maggie didn't really care about Beth for a good little while there, right? I mean, Maggie wasn't really asking, where's Beth? Where's Beth? So, you know, now we finally have the episode where she's sad about her sister. And by the end of it, you know, she's the one who goes to Sasha, takes her out of the barn, takes her for the walk, and is basically like, hey, you know, we're going to make it. We're going to be okay. So I think Maggie number two, and Sasha, pretty clearly bottom of the totem pole, needs to kill things, shooting dogs up, insulting Noah, slicing Abraham, almost killing Michonne. So Sasha is the one who I think her head is really out of this thing.
Yeah, Maggie, I think the thing for her was that she thought Beth was dead and they told her that Beth wasn't dead, and then she got her hopes up. And then when she found out that Beth was dead the second time, that I think that put her over the edge.
Yeah, I think that put her over the edge. I get that. You know, she hadn't really been thinking about Beth too much because she didn't allow herself to think about Beth too much. And then, you know, she finds out that Beth is alive the same day that she finds out that Beth is actually dead. That's a bummer. It's a bummer, Rob.
Bummer. Yes. Bummer. And then let's talk about Sasha, who is now gone off the deep end. And she seems like she's got a death wish. She's got a little bit of Tyrese in her.
Yeah. She's like, I'm not like Tyrese. I'm not like Tyrese. But she's very much like
exactly Tyrese. Like Tyrese.
She's exactly like Tyrese. This is what Tyrese did, you know, when Karen died and he was so furious and he walks out into a horde of walkers and just starts hammering away and somehow walks away from that situation unscathed. We get a big taste of that tonight with Sasha, who's ruining what I thought was a pretty clever plan to get rid of these walkers. Just walk them off a bridge and stab them in the head if they get too close. But Sasha breaks rank and gets everybody in a world of hurt, and she's slashing away with her knife to the point where she almost stabs Michonne in the heart. She actually slashes Abraham's arm. So yeah, Sasha, her head is out of this thing right now, and somebody needs to set her straight.
Yeah, you know, the plan with making the walkers fall off the bridge, I think it started off pretty good. I feel like they were probably a little bit too, like, taking it easy with everything. It's like they were making them fall off the bridge one at a time, but nobody even had a weapon out. Is it like if you scare one walker, do they all start to get aggressive?
Well, I feel like there were like people who were further back, who were probably like backup that would just, you know, pop some zombie heads if they had to. But I liked the plan. I thought it was a good plan. I trust Rick's group as far as
plan got dicked.
Plan got dicked. Plan got Sasha'd. Let's be fair here. Plan got Sasha'd here. If the plan had gotten ricked, I think the plan would have worked without a hitch. But you know, Sasha had to break formation. She ruined the whole thing.
Good. I'm glad you brought up Rick, because I want to talk about when Rick was in the barn with everybody, and he tries to give this pep talk, and he talks about how, like, when he's talking, like, when I was talking to my grandfather, and he told me when he was in World War II, and I asked him, how many Germans did you kill? And he said, that's grown up stuff. And then he told me that one day, and he basically, he talked about, were they trying to kill him? And he says, this is how we survive. And he says, we are the walking dead.
We are the walking dead.
We are the walking dead.
We Are the Walking Dead. Yeah, he name checks the title of the show. What did you think of that, Rob?
It does a little on the nose.
A little on the nose?
Yeah.
Did you really think we were going to go through every single episode of The Walking Dead without one person saying the words Walking Dead? I mean, yeah. Kind of feels inevitable.
Well, I have to say, I think it was, I liked it. My favorite episode of Breaking Bad was the time that Walter White turned to Jesse and said, that's it, Jesse. I'm Breaking Bad.
Don't you see? The ones who are Breaking Bad.
I'm Breaking Bad now. That's good. I liked it on Mad Men when Don Draper slammed on the table and said, damn it, we're Mad Men.
That was a really good episode.
That was good.
Season three, episode six, I believe.
that's also good. I loved it.
I mean, look, Game of Thrones has said when you play the Game of Thrones, you win or you die. It's not like this is unprecedented, Rob.
I'm telling you, I liked it.
You're lying.
I liked it.
I know when you're pastoring me, and you're pastoring me right now.
Yeah. But Daryl's really got mad. He said, we're not them.
We're not them. Yeah. So, I mean, like, that's the divide right now is Rick saying the only way we can push forward is if we just assume that we're dead. And when we, get into a situation where we don't have to assume that way anymore, then, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Daryl, who throughout this entire episode has kind of been wrestling with this idea of, mourning Beth and losing innocence and stuff. I think, he had his little cry before everybody gets into the barn. And I think Daryl's feeling a little bit better about things. And I don't think that he's ready to accept Rick's really depressing worldview. I don't think that he's ready to do that yet.
But when Daryl says we're not them, who is the them in question? Is he saying that we're not like the walkers? We're not like Rick's grandfather and the infantrymen. Who are they not? Who are they not?
That's a good question. I took it to mean that he was saying we're not the Walking Dead. We're not the, we're not like them. We're not the walkers. We're still here. We're still alive. We're still moving. But it's an interesting question. It's interesting to look at it from the perspective of we're not them. We're not that generation. We're not the people who fought in World War II, which is considered a really brave, heroic generation of soldiers. And the things that, this group has had to do, killing people, shutting people out, eating dogs, it's not very heroic. So that's an interesting spin on it, too, is to think of it as Daryl saying, we're not heroes. We're not like that. We're not like your grandpa. I took it to mean we're not the zombies, but I think that's an interesting read, too.
Yeah. Josh, just tying it back to the radio broadcast from last week, which was some sort of historical radio broadcast. Does that have any connection here with Rick talking about World War II?
I don't know. I mean, it does seem like we're kind of putting the idea of war on the front burner. Hearing what did seem to be like description of a war torn area at the very least in the Tyrese episode, that kind of thing. And then this monologue from Rick talking about how, I used to have these conversations with my grandfather, who was this heroic, very brave World War II veteran. It seems like the show does want us to think about this apocalypse as if it's a war. And who are we fighting? And are we fighting each other? Are we fighting ourselves? How do we survive this horrible, mad situation? So I think that's interesting. And I wonder what that means about, where we're going thematically and where we're literally going. Are we marching off to war, especially now with a character like Aaron, who, if it's the worst case scenario and he's not who he says he is and he's some sort of bad dude, are we about to go to war with whoever he represents? So I wonder if we're being set up to get ready for some sort of war is on its way. Are you sure you're ready type of scenario?
Let me ask you a question about the show. We've always talked about how sometimes they do an episode where it's just a couple of characters and then we don't see characters for a couple of weeks. Tonight was an episode where all the characters were in the episode. Did you prefer this to when we see an episode that focuses more on a couple of characters?
I think it's necessary. I like a lot of the episodes where it's just a few characters. I get upset when we don't see someone like Rick for, five episodes in a row, which was the case in the back half of season four. I think that's no bueno. But, you know, I don't mind, and often I really like when it's an episode that just kind of stops down and focuses on a couple of people. You know, I thought it was really interesting that last week was essentially a Tyrese episode, even though we did see a bit from Rick and Michonne. We didn't get to see any Daryl Dixon or Carol or anybody like that. I think that the show needs to stop down and have those moments sometimes. But I think, you know, we've got such a sizable group, and that presents so many problems, not the least of which is that we aren't going to be able to give every single character a moment in a big episode like this, just because there's too damn many of them. But I think that that's a big problem with the group, is like, there's too damn many of us. We're all so starved. We're all so stretched out. We're so stretched thin that I think that you do need to have one episode at least every once in a while that has everybody in it, so you can really kind of see that, like, where it's a big group and it's a big problem we've got going on right now, and it's affecting everybody. So I think it's good to have every now and then just the big ensemble episode.
So of course we've covered the dog stuff. Actually, we haven't really covered the fact that Sasha just opened fired on the dogs.
That's because, hardcore.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Sasha has, Sasha herself has really gone to the dogs a little bit.
Yeah, she's really gone to the dark side. So she goes ahead and she shoots all those dogs. But also, we had the imagery of the frogs that were all on the ground. And then, of course, Daryl eating a worm from the ground. I feel like Daryl really didn't even brush off a lot of the dirt off the worm. I think I feel like he might have gotten some dirt also, Josh.
Yeah, I feel like at this point, Daryl Dixon is at least like 63% dirt anyway. So I think it's almost like when the T-1000 like is on the back of the car that the T-800 is driving away with Sarah Connor and John Connor, and like half of his like metal hand gets wedged in the trunk, and they throw it out the window, and then it gets reabsorbed into his foot. It's kind of like that. He's just reabsorbing some dirt into his body.
Yeah.
How's that for a reach for a Terminator 2 Judgment
no,
Day?
No, not a reach. It was perfect.
Not a reach? Okay.
But what was with the frogs?
What was with the frogs? You know, maybe if you want to talk about your magic scenario, Rob, maybe it was like a magnolia moment.
Yeah, that's what I think.
It's like raining frogs.
Yeah, I think that might be the case. And then it rained.
Yeah. Did it rain frogs the night before? Who knows? We didn't get to see.
I don't know. So that was very. And why did Sasha want to kick the dirt on the frogs?
I don't know. Because Sasha's just like in a bad place right now. Doesn't have a lot of respect for life right now, it seems like.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about Carol, too, in this episode. I feel like Carol is very worried about Daryl.
Carol's always worried about Daryl. You know, Carol has kind of been Daryl's spirit animal for a very long time. And, you know, she's talking about how, like, I'm not the kind of guy that has to, you know, I'm not the kind of person who has to release my emotions and really feel what I'm feeling. Like, I'm kind of beyond that. That already happened. My daughter died. Like, I'm sort of over it. But Daryl, you're a raw nerve. You're a vulnerable man. You need to feel some feelings. So Carol's just trying to, you know, she knows Daryl better than probably anybody else in the group knows Daryl. You get the sense that these two have opened up to each other in the past. So she's just trying to look out for her buddy.
Yeah. She gave Daryl a knife. This was Beth's knife?
It was Beth's knife. Yeah. That she must have taken from when they were together in the hospital.
Okay. Do you remember that? I mean, was there any incident about this knife?
I don't know. It was probably just a thing that she used from time to time. I don't remember it being especially iconic. It's no Daryl Dixon crossbow, I'll tell you that.
I feel like Carol, maybe she's still on the mend from her trip to the hospital. I feel like she's not seeming that badass right now.
You think that, that car accident did something to her brain that she's just not thinking right?
No, she just seems a little weak, Carol. Feel like she's not up to full speed. Maybe she's such a good actor that she's, you know, really, you know, taking on that she's so physically weakened.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I feel like if you get hit by a car, the way that Carol got hit by a car, you end up being, you know, unconscious for days, and then basically the day you wake up, you get liberated from this prison hospital. I feel like she hasn't quite had enough time to recuperate. I mean, they've been on the road for a couple of weeks now since Atlanta. But, you know, that's going to take some time to get over. So I think that, you know, maybe Carol's not quite as hardcore badass Carol as she's been in the past right now.
Yeah.
I also kind of thought that Carol and Daryl were going to finally make out.
No, she went in for the kiss, and then she thought better of it, kissed him on the forehead.
Ah, man. Yeah. The world, you know, Tumblr would have exploded if Carol and Daryl finally made out.
Boom.
Is that ever going to happen?
Yeah, what's their couple name?
Carol.
Yes.
Or maybe Daryl.
Either way. Also, Noah is a little bummed out. Noah is like, I think I should have stayed at the hospital.
Rob, let me ask you. We've been very hard on Noah. We had a lot of feedback during our Walking Dead feedback show about how mean we've been to Noah, that we just don't seem to like this guy, that he's just a little bit of a wet blanket. How have your feelings on Noah changed, if they've changed at all, after this episode?
Status quo. Yes.
Noah remains a little bit of he's there.
Yeah, well, he's 100% he's there. He's below Father Gabriel in the power rankings for me.
Oh, my God. What did you think of Father Gabriel ditching his collar?
I mean, this is after everything Father Gabriel has been through, the eating the dog was like, you know what? I think I've had it with this. That's it. This is a bridge too far. I just ate a dog.
You know, we've got plenty of reason to believe that this is he's kind of a crappy holy man. So if this is the thing that kind of makes him think, you know, enough is enough, then he's probably never had the stones to wear the cloth to begin with.
Okay. What do you think about hair shirts?
Hair shirts? I've never heard of them.
I've never heard of the hair shirts.
Is this because I'm Jewish and I just don't know about hair shirts? Is this like a Christian thing?
Yeah, this is a first for me. Are you thinking of trying one?
Yeah, man, I would wear some hair shirts. It depends, I guess, on where's the hair coming from. I think you'd really want to look into that.
Eugene's mullet?
I would wear a shirt.
It's the
made
front
out of,
part of Eugene's hair.
No, it's got to be the back. I need the party in the back. Otherwise, you know, I mean, I'll take the full head of hair, but if it's just the front part, I'm not taking Eugene's hair for a hair shirt. No, okay. Thank you.
All right. You want to get into some questions?
Yeah, but I also want to know if you would wear an Abraham hair shirt.
Abraham hair shirt. I'm worried that it could be so saturated with alcohol that if I get close to a match, I could go up in flames.
You look good in red, though.
Yes. Well, thank you. Anything else from the episode before we get into the questions?
No, let's dive into the questions.
Okay. Of course, you could subscribe to our Walking Dead only podcast feed. Go to postshowrecaps.com/TWD iTunes. And Josh, we're doing feedback this week.
We're doing feedback this week. We did it last week. We took your questions. You asked us a whole bunch of stuff about last week's episode. Let's do it again. Get your questions to us at TWD@postshowrecaps.com. Tweet them to Rob and me, Rob at Rob Cesternino. I'm at Round Howard. Tweet your questions all week long. Email those questions. Get some voicemails in. postshowrecaps.com/voicemail, and we'll do it again.
Yeah, and leave them in the comments on postshowrecaps.com. Okay, let's go ahead and let's get to Lauren Garcia. And Lauren says, shish kapooch, shish kamoot, barbafito, barbawow, put another flea bag on the Barbie.
So we're trying to figure out what to call the dog meat, huh?
Yeah.
I think it's got to be barbecue, right?
I'm going to go with hot dogs.
Hot dogs. That's easy.
Yeah. It's a little,
I would go barbecue, but, hot dogs works as well.
Or, magic dog buffet.
Magic dog buffet. Okay. We can go with that as well.
Yes. Okay. From Jason Burning. Did they just stumble onto a certain island zip code, or is there some weird stuff going on The Walking Dead?
See, everybody feels it. Everybody feels the Lost in the air on The Walking Dead. And you know I'm a big fan of Lost, Rob. Anybody who's listened to me on post-show recaps on any of the shows that I'm on, including the Lost Lives podcast that we've done in the past, knows that I'm a huge Lost fan. I'm going to poo-poo the magic theory. I think the magic is out. I'm out on the magic. No magic on The Walking Dead.
None at all.
Not yet, unless you count Eugene's mullet, which is certainly magical in its own right.
Mullet is magic. All right.
Mullet is magic.
What does Cavendish have to say, Josh?
Cavendish says, "We are the Walking Dead. Did Rick just jump the shark?" Well, all right. So give me your serious take on this, Rob. Is it too much? Is it a bridge too far to say we are the Walking Dead on this show?
It might be.
It's in the comics.
Okay.
It's in the comics. It's under different circumstances. It's back during the days of the prison that Rick is having this kind of big freak out moment in front of the whole group. And he has this epiphany where he tells everybody, "Don't you see? We are the Walking Dead." So it's even more ham-fisted in the comics. I think that the way the show did it was subtler. So if you didn't like it on the show, you wouldn't have liked it in the comics. I'll tell you that.
What did you think?
I thought it was fine. I mean, I've been expecting this line for a good long while. It's an iconic speech in the comics. There's no way that the show was never going to do it. So I was prepared for it.
Okay. If it's an important line with the context, I can live with it.
I mean, I don't know if I would say it's important. I mean, it's iconic. You know, it's a big moment from the comics. So I expected to see it. I'm fine with seeing it, but maybe a little bit on the nose. But I get the point. I see the point that he's trying to make. I think it's an apt point, but I think it's probably something that we've figured out, a while ago, that this is a show that, yeah, it's a zombie show, and yeah, it's about dead things that spring to life and walk around. But it's really in a lot of ways about living things walking around, but they're kind of dead inside.
So if Rick's group are the Walking Dead, then what are the walkers?
They're also the Walking Dead, right? No?
They're also Walking Dead? We're Walking Dead and they're also Walking Dead? Or are we Walking Dead and they're walking really dead or walking undead?
They're like shambling dead. You know, they're like the shuffling dead.
Yeah. What'd you think about that opening scene with Maggie when she's sort of like staring off into space and the walker comes up behind her? Did you think that was another sort of flash forward?
Yeah, I wondered about that at first. I mean, I think once we got to like everybody, when like Daryl and Maggie and Sasha reconvene with the group and see the group and they all get back together, I think at that point you kind of dispel the flash forward notion. But yeah, I think with that first scene, it seemed like certainly with how last week's episode really played tricks with us with that opening scene, I think a lot of people thought that the montage we were seeing at the beginning of the episode was about Beth, and it turns out to be about Tyrese. I'm looking to see if when The Walking Dead is messing with our heads. And I definitely had a feeling that maybe there was some sort of flash forward thing going on, but turns out not to be the case.
Yeah, I thought it was the case too, especially because I felt like the camera sort of focused on the engagement ring that Maggie wears. I said, "Oh, Glenn's dead. Glenn's dead.
No,
Glenn
never.
Is dead." And never. Then I was surprised when it did not go that way. Were you surprised that Maggie was just so despondent when a walker was like right behind her?
Yeah, she's really lucky those branches were where they were, and that this walker couldn't get through them because she let the walker get all the way to the branches, like this branch cage that she probably had no idea really existed. I think that, you know, maybe if we were doing the power rankings of how depressed everybody is at the start of the episode, Maggie would be pretty high up. She was just ready and willing to let this walker tear her apart.
Yeah.
Thankfully, she, was saved by the branch.
Well, yeah, I love that show. The three people that we're talking about in these different stages of grief between Maggie and Sasha and Daryl, they're all dealing with it pretty differently, where it's like Maggie is just sort of like seeming like she's like giving up and sort of like she doesn't want to go on, whereas Sasha is like angry and like wants to kill everything in sight. And Daryl is sort of like, you know, in private, like very like weepy about the whole thing. Like, Daryl, one of the interesting scenes that I thought tonight was when he takes the cigarette and like burns his hand just to see if he can feel anymore. Josh,
what a freaking badass.
Yes.
Oh my God.
No, I do that sometimes.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
Is this part of the reformed bad boy of podcasting image you're trying to build for yourself?
Yeah. I have done that before, but not with cigarettes, but like with a pencil. And I see,
really?
I really poked myself with that pencil. I can still feel. I'm still alive.
Why did you do that? Why did you do it?
I watched too much TV. I said, I don't know what it's like to feel myself anymore. So I took a pencil and I it wasn't too sharp. It was like sort of like more of a, like a dull point.
I stepped on a pencil once when I was a kid and I still have like the mark on my foot for the rest of my life, I think.
Did you get lead poisoning?
I'm still here. Okay. I'm still breathing.
Okay.
Unless I'm the Walking Dead, which is possible.
Yeah, but that Daryl still can feel, and that made him cry.
It made him cry. Was he crying because of like the emotional aspect, or is he like, that really hurt?
About the like, oh my God, that's probably going to be a scar on my hand.
Why did I do that? That was so stupid.
That was dumb.
You're so dumb, Daryl.
That was These guys are so dumb.
I don't know. Hard to say what Daryl Dixon is thinking these days.
Okay. Let's go to this question from, take this question from Mark.
Okay, Mark Singh. Here comes Mark Singh says, Rainstorm clue, possible end game. Noah builds an ark and leads all to safety while zombies drown.
Oh, that's a good idea.
What do you think about that as a theory, Rob?
Well,
do you think we could be building up to a point where Noah is going to gather all of the survivors?
Well, I don't know if you could tell me or not. Does that happen in the comic books?
I'm not going to spoil that for It's too good. It's too good.
Is that the ending that they've been leading up to?
I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm not saying that Noah builds an ark and they use it to get to Washington, D.C., but I might be saying that.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Lauren wants to say, Abraham is better off using the alcohol to disinfect his wounds. He got sliced with a zombie-infected knife. Well, don't worry about the zombie-infected knife. That doesn't do anything to you, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. But I mean, it did alarm me a little bit as well, I have to admit, is that, like, you know, Sasha's just been, you know, destroying these walkers with this knife, and it's probably covered in zombie gore, and she ends up slicing Abraham's arm, and it's kind of like, yeah, that might not be great. Like, it's still, you know, you still don't want that to happen, I think, but ultimately he was fine.
He's a tough guy.
He's a tough guy. You know, you could bite Abraham and he'd probably be okay.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know.
Aaron Cockerill wants
Is it Stranger Danger Aaron or what?
No, different Aaron. Did Gabriel cause the storm by becoming a no collar? Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Man.
Did God get so mad that that Gabriel threw his priest collar in the fire?
Hey, it's like, Gabriel, you idiot, you fool, how could you do this?
Yes.
I'm gonna cause a storm. Yeah, maybe God was mad at Gabriel. I'd be mad at Gabriel. I mean, I'm always mad at Gabriel, so it wouldn't surprise me.
It's hard to tell what God's POV is on this, because it was one thing, maybe he was mad at Gabriel and he made it rain, but then he made it rain
like the fun make it rain.
Yes, and then it's NBA All-Star Weekend. And also then all those walkers came, but then God made the tornado that ended up making them all go away.
Yeah, it's true. I think God's just having a fun time toying with these people. He's just like pushing their limits.
They're like little ants.
Yeah, that's really what it is. They're like little worms that Daryl Dixon eats. That's what it's like.
All right. What does William have to say?
Here's William Northrup, who says, Rick evoked the title. Daryl didn't like it. Is this a sign of things to come?
Oh.
A divide between Mr. Grimes and Mr. Dixon.
Yeah. What show does Daryl want to be on?
What show does Daryl want to be on? Probably maybe like Survivor Man.
Yeah.
Or whatever the Bear Grylls show is.
Daryl needs a catchphrase.
What do you think it should be? He should like shoot someone with his crossbow and be like, don't cross me.
Yeah, good. Okay. Jack of all skills says, could Aaron be a scout bait for the wolves? Well, we don't know.
Right. Yeah. So we've been wondering about this thing called the wolves that, you know, there was this spray paint in Noah's neighborhood in last week's episode. It's like the wolves are nearby. First of all, is there any chance that the wolves are the dogs? That could be possible, you know, the dogs that we saw in this past episode. Or do we think that the wolves are a group that was responsible for, like, those torsos that were found in the van? And if that's the case, Rob, do you think Aaron is aligned with those guys?
Well, that's a lot of questions there. I would say that the wolves that we saw, the spray paint, does not refer to the rabid dogs. I would also say that I'm not sure if Aaron is affiliated with this group, because he does seem to be a pretty, you know, well-groomed guy. He's not really, he's looked like a Wolf of Wall Street, but not necessarily a Wolf of the Walking Dead.
Well, think about like Mr. Wolf from Pulp Fiction. That guy was pretty suave as well. Maybe these guys are the wolves, because they're like the big bad wolf who just like look awesome. They're just like sleek and sexy zombie survivors.
Wow.
How about that?
Sleek weasels.
Real sleek weasels.
Jackson Milton says, Rob and Josh, was the zombie NATO inspired by the shark NATO? Well, was Ian Ziering in the mix? Were the zombies singing La Cucaracha?
Oh, man, we got to get Ian Ziering on The Walking Dead as his Sharknado character. If not him, then we at
Finn.
Least need to get Tara Reid with, like, her chainsaw hand. That would be great.
That would be great.
That should be, like, a comic book crossover. I feel like Zombie Nado the Walking Dead comic book crossover with Sharknado should be a thing that happens. Somebody get Robert Kirkman on the phone.
Okay, let's take this question from Wotan237.
Okay, Wotan says, Rick is talking in a way that makes one think that he will lead the group toward a cannibalistic direction. That's interesting. Could the journey of this season be, these survivors have escaped a cannibal safe haven and killed all of these cannibals only to become cannibals themselves later on down the line?
I don't think that's necessarily where we're going, but it would be cool if that was where we were going, especially because Gareth sort of prophesied that, hey, you guys are just like us. We started out like you. And then we saw like a little bit in the, I believe it was the season premiere that we saw like the then now, and we got to see what it was like for that whole Terminus group. But I don't get the sense that anybody in Rick's group is talking about eating a person. Yeah. What about this question from Jackson Milton?
Jackson Milton. I believe this is the last question, actually. Jackson Milton wrote in and said, was this the most vulnerable we have seen Daryl? It's pretty vulnerable. I think his scene in the cabin with Beth last season was the most vulnerable we've seen Daryl. Or maybe even when he had to kill his brother.
Yeah, I would agree on both counts.
I don't think that this was as low as we've seen him. I think we've seen Daryl through worse. This is actually the final question. It's more of a request. Rob, give us your zombie impersonation. A request from Stephen Hooker. Are the walkers talking now? Or are they casting magic spells?
Yeah, it's the talking. They're like, we're the talking dead.
Oh, man. And they all just look like Chris Hardwick. Is Chris Hardwick a magician?
Yes.
Is he the guy responsible for all of this?
Yes, I think he's a magician.
Oh, man. All right, well, that's all we got on questions, Rob. So I think we can call it on this one.
That's all we have on questions today.
Today, that's right. We will have more questions, hopefully, from you guys later in the week. Send those our way, twd@postshowrecaps.com. Leave them in the comments here on YouTube or on postshowrecaps.com. We will do another Walking Dead feedback show. I thought it was a really fun show last time. And if you didn't hear it, we did our death draft, which is always a good time.
Yeah, check that out. That's at postshowrecaps.com. Make sure you're subscribed to our Walking Dead feed or all of Post Show Recaps. Click the podcast tab on postshowrecaps.com to see all that. Josh, you got anything else coming up this week on PSR?
No, we're going to keep doing what we're doing. Justified is continuing its final season. Antonio Mazzaro and I will be talking about that on Tuesday night. Rob, you and Antonio, I'm sure, are going to be talking about Better Call Saul tomorrow night. So there's, it's business as usual. Things are going on. Oh, if you guys didn't hear my 50 Shades of Grey podcast, I recommend that. That's a pretty scary one.
Yes. Talk about
if you like
magic.
The Walking Dead, which means you like horrifying things, then you should probably give the 50 Shades of Grey podcast a listen. That was terrifying.
That's Josh Wigler and his wife on that podcast. How about that?
Yeah. What Rob means to say is that's a podcast between me and my wife. Me and my wife recapped 50 Shades of Grey, the movie. She spent a half hour prepping me for what I was about to get in store, what I was in store for, because she has read the book. And then it's about an hour of us breaking down what we thought of the movie. And I'm not going to tell you what I thought of the movie, but maybe I will tease that I didn't hate it.
Whoa.
I didn't hate 50 Shades of Grey.
Boy, Josh and Emily, the Maggie and Glenn of podcasting.
I take that as a compliment. I'll be Glenn. I thought I was Eugene forever and always. So maybe it's like the Eugene and Rosita.
Okay. Chris Berger in the chat says Josh's podcast with his wife was great. Great him.
There you go. It was great. It was a great podcast.
All right. Before my internet goes out again, let's get out of here. Thanks so much for listening. Looking forward to hearing you guys in the comments. Got a hashtag?
Yeah, let's go #ZombieNATO.
ZombieNATO. All right. Take care, everybody. Have a great night.